I was using Craigslist as a means of selling some of my old, unused things I had stashed away in my house. I had plans to move out in the next few months, so I was just trying to organize what I needed from what I didn't need, and that's when I found my old motor tools. They were high quality and still functional, but I had gotten battery-powered ones to replace them not long ago. With no use for them anymore, I took a couple pictures and posted them up on Craigslist. I had listed a power drill, driver, and matching tool set for $80. Considering they weren't that old and still fully functional, this was a really good deal. It didn't take long to get responses. In just an hour, I got two replies to my post. One of them emailed me, asking if $50 would be okay, but I politely declined. The other reply stated that they were very interested and wanted to buy them that same night for the listed price. I agreed and said I was available at 5 if he wanted to swing by and pick them up. I never let anyone into my house when selling things. I'd always just bring the stuff out to my driveway and talk to them there. It was a well-trafficked neighborhood street, so I wasn't worried about anyone attempting something out in the open. As I usually did, I was going to stand out in the driveway with the items a bit before 5 and wait for them so that I could make the transaction as quick as possible. But just past 4:30, there was a knock at the door. I looked out, seeing a man standing there with his red car parked in the driveway. I opened the door a crack, asking who he was. The man said he was here to buy the tools that were on Craigslist and admitted to being early. I told him to hold on for a minute and to just wait in his car, as I wasn't expecting him yet. He hesitated, making the interaction more awkward than it should have been, but then he turned around. Once he walked away, I got all the tools together and met him at the top of the driveway. I had an outlet outside for him to test the tools with, and he seemed satisfied with them.
"How about 20?
He said while holding the drill.
"The deal was 80. I can do a little lower, but 20 is too low,"
I said nicely, though I was slightly annoyed because he had already agreed to pay $80 for them, and $20 was just a total ripoff. He put the drill down, and without even looking at me, he walked back to his car and drove away. I was confused and upset, feeling like I'd been played and just had wasted my time. I got the tools back inside and just went on with my night, trying not to let myself get too upset about it. Really, it was just a small inconvenience. At least, that's what I thought. A couple hours later, I walked by the front windows, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw that same red car. It was parked just down the road, 3 houses away from mine. I looked closely, trying to be sure that it was that same man, but nobody was inside it. It was an empty, parked car, so I had no way of knowing for sure. I convinced myself it was just a coincidence and carried on. Another hour would go by. I was just going on with my night, making food and watching TV, but then someone knocked on my door. I was a little shaken, but chose to ignore it and hope that whoever it was would go away. Obviously, the man from earlier was my first thought. Only 30 seconds passed before they knocked again.
"Hey, it's me. I decided I'll take the tools. I brought the money,"
he yelled from the other side of the door. I didn't believe him at all. It all came together in my mind that that car that I'd seen an hour ago was his, meaning that he'd been stalking my house all night. I didn't respond and instead called the police, informing them of the man's name and the car he had. The man called out several more times, saying he wanted to buy the tools, but then it went silent for a minute. I was still standing by my couch, looking toward the front door. Another minute passed. I wasn't sure what to do. The police were already on their way and would be here any minute, so I felt safe enough to be able to check out the windows. I quietly walked over to the window that was beside the door. But then suddenly, I heard something hit the side of the house with great force. The sound was followed by leaves rustling and footsteps running away. I looked out the window and saw the guy running with a limp down to his car. The police turned in at the perfect time, though, stopping him halfway. It surprised me to hear that the man admitted to a lot. He said he planned on robbing me, but I wouldn't let him into the house, which complicated things for him. Additionally, he tried climbing the tree on the side of my house and jumping onto the roof, but he missed, hitting the side and falling on his leg. The thing is, though, he was armed with a knife, and the roof he tried to jump on was just under my second-story window, which, after checking, was unlocked. So, if he had made the jump, he actually would have gotten inside. He claimed it was just an attempted robbery, but claims are just that. I stopped using Craigslist, and even to this day, I lock every single window in my house, even the ones that I think are unreachable. I used Craigslist many years ago to find a room for rent. I was looking for a house to stay at and be able to split rent with a roommate or roommates. It took maybe a week to find a place that was suitable for me and several phone calls with the owner before I was ready to move in. The owner who was to be my roommate seemed like a really normal, nice guy who was similar in age as me. He told me all about the place and what to expect, and I also felt like we connected well. With everything seeming perfect, I was getting really excited. I didn't have much to move, so I packed it all up and stuffed it in the trunk of my car, and in just a few days, I drove out 30 minutes to my soon-to-be home. It was located outside of the main town and in more of a woodsy terrain. It had a long driveway leading far from the road. Pulling in, though, it was not as I'd expected. It was a very old, wooden home. I knew it was passed down from his parents, but this place looked to be at least 100 years old. The pictures of the inside that I'd seen on Craigslist looked to be fairly modern, so I assumed they had to have done some pretty big renovations. I left everything in my car as I went up to the door and knocked. Aaron, the owner, came and showed me around. While the outside was not so impressive, the inside was the opposite. Very well maintained, clean, and definitely had been renovated not long ago. I was really happy with everything and moved my things in that night. Several days went by with no issues. It didn't even feel like I'd found this place on Craigslist. It felt like I was just living with a friend. Aaron worked in town though, so he was gone most of the time, and I worked from home, so I got to have the whole house to myself. Well, not the whole house. There was one door that was always locked. It wasn't any of my business, and I knew that, so I never brought it up with Aaron. But it still got me wondering. It was almost definitely the basement door, but this was odd because he said the house was a one-story home, not mentioning anything about having a basement. Another couple days went by before something happened. Aaron brought home some fast food for dinner, and then went to bed early because he had work the next day. I stayed up a while longer, then did the same. Laying in bed though, I had trouble falling asleep. There wasn't any reason for this, it was just one of those nights. But after a while, I heard Aaron's bedroom door open. I was listening, because there was nothing else to do, but no sounds came. I waited a whole 2 or 3 minutes before he started walking, slowly, down the hall towards my door. Just as he was passing, though, he stopped. I heard the floorboards creak, followed by the door thump softly, as if he was pressing up against it. He stayed there behind the door for a while, I don't even know how long, but then he walked away. Not back toward his room, but the other way, toward the main hallway. Then a door opened and closed. I didn't know what to think. It was really weird and creepy, but also I'd known Aaron for a while now, and didn't see him as a weird person. But what was he doing? And where did he go? I stayed awake as long as I could, waiting to hear him come back, but he never did. Over the next few nights, I noticed a pattern. Every time I would go to bed, about 30 minutes later, Aaron would open his door, stand still for a minute, then walk to my door, stand still again, then leave and go into the locked door. He never slept in his room. He always slept somewhere behind the weird locked door. What made it so creepy was that he was trying so hard to keep a secret from me. I decided one night that I was going to figure this all out, because I was beginning to feel unsafe. I went to bed and waited for Aaron to do his usual routine. He opened his bedroom door and walked over to mine. Then, as soon as I heard him unlock and open the other door, I got up and quickly went into the hallway, catching him standing by the open door. He looked back at me, clearly startled.
"Hey, is everything okay, Aaron?"
I asked. He just stared at me, eyes still open wide from the scare I gave him.
"Why do you keep going to that door every night?"
I broke the silence, getting impatient. We were standing on opposite sides of the long, dark hallway, but I could sense that something was wrong with him. We stared at each other still, and I took a step closer.
"Aaron?"
As soon as I spoke his name, he ran around the corner and straight to the back door, opening it and continuing to run for the trees. I looked out the back door, seeing him disappear into the dark woods. I was shaking, horrified at what just happened. I have no words to describe the unknown thoughts running through my head. I closed the back door, then grabbed a knife from the kitchen and walked over to the door Aaron had opened. It was in fact a basement, but there was no light switch and it clearly had not been renovated like the rest of the house. The walls were old, decaying wood. I debated whether or not to go down. I was so intrigued and curious, but terrified as well. The longer I stood there, the more afraid I became. I turned and ran back to my room, packed everything I could into two suitcases, stuffed them in my car, and drove away, never looking back. I never talked to Aaron again, and he never tried to contact me either. I didn't know what was going on with him, or what he was doing in that house, but I didn't want to be involved. After a while, I forgot about it, but almost 5 years later, I found myself wondering about it again. I looked up the house online and found some strange things. It had been torn down years ago. There was an article from 5 years ago, just a few months after I left, stating that the house was abandoned. To me, this meant that when Aaron ran away that night, he never came back. I kept reading, and it stated that the house was torn down due to what they described as criminal findings. It didn't go into any more detail about what those criminal findings were. This really had me shaken up for a few weeks. Things like this probably wouldn't happen nowadays, but you can never be too careful. I'm a 25-year-old male, and this happened to me 3 years ago. I had just signed a lease for a small house in the town I lived in. Having been living in an apartment for a few years, I didn't have a lot of furniture or large house decorations to fill the space in my rental. While I had a decent-sized couch and TV stand, I only had a mini TV that I wanted to put up in my bedroom since it was so small. Not having a ton of money to work with, though, I took to Craigslist to find a larger TV for the living room. I found a few nice flat-screen TVs listed on the site. They were all over my budget, though, and honestly, a lot nicer than I actually needed. I just wanted a large TV to fill the space in my living room. I didn't actually care about the quality of the picture on the TV. Anyway, I finally found one that seemed to work with what I needed. It was cheap, large, and was said to be in working condition. It was an old flat-screen TV from probably 10 years ago. Compared to today, they aren't even considered flat screens anymore, as they're usually 3 to 4 inches thick and really heavy. I sent the owner an email and continued with my search. Finding nothing else worth looking into, I just hoped for the best with that one TV. It wasn't until the following morning that I received a response to my email. The owner introduced himself as Mitch and said he'd love to show me the TV whenever I was available. I don't know if I just read it in a weird way or what, but he seemed to be over the top excited about this. It made me a little uncomfortable, but I just figured it was a happy old man or something. I said I could do any day this week after I got off work at 6, and Mitch said tomorrow at 6:30 would be perfect for him, leaving his address at the bottom of the email, along with a Google Calendar invite to an event labeled as Craigslist TV. I accepted it, though I wasn't really sure what the purpose of it was, and it was definitely not a normal thing people do, but it didn't affect me in any way. I got my truck emptied out, and the next day I went to work, then went straight to his address afterwards. It was dark out by now, and when I pulled into his driveway, I saw all the lights were on inside. I checked one last time to make sure I had all the cash on hand, then got out of my truck and went to the front door. Walking up, I could see that the front door was partially open. There was no screen door or anything, just one main door. Thinking it was left open for me, I leaned over and peeked inside, but didn't see anyone, so I rang the doorbell. Right when the bell rang, I heard something drop on the far end of the house. Then it went quiet. There was something about that noise that made me start getting nervous. After a moment, I decided I had a bad feeling about this and was just going to leave. But then footsteps came from behind the door, which then opened slightly wider, revealing a man.
"Need something?"
he said, half his body still behind the door.
Oh, yeah, I was here to look at your TV. We scheduled for 6:30 today.
The man looked at me for a second.
"All right."
He opened the door completely and let me inside. I will say, at that moment, I knew something was wrong. He wasn't acting at all like he was in the emails. I expected a happy old man, not a large, grumpy, middle-aged dude. But I was already inside by the time all the alarms were going off in my head. The TV was in the room right next to the door, so he stood there while I looked at it.
Yeah, this looks good. I'll take it,
I said, not even knowing if it worked or not, but I wanted to get this over with quickly. I held out the money. He looked at it for a moment, then back at me. He reached out and took it, then shoved it in his pocket. And without giving me any time to react, he grabbed me by the shoulder and shoved me back towards the door, yelling at me to leave. I didn't argue. I sprinted out to my truck and drove away. Not long after, I pulled to the side and called the police to let them know I'd been robbed. The whole time, I was just thinking about how stupid they were, meeting me at their own house, robbing me, and letting me go, knowing that I knew where they lived. But when the police got to the house and called me back, I was in complete shock hearing what they told me. Over that week, though, things became more clear. The man I met at the house was not Mitch. Mitch, the owner of the house, was found unconscious in the kitchen. Thankfully, he survived, though he had some pretty bad injuries. The man I met at the door was another customer Mitch was meeting from Craigslist to pick up some kitchenware he was also selling. He ended up beating and robbing Mitch, likely just minutes before I showed up. What's even crazier is that Mitch had sent that man a Google Calendar invite as well, and the man accepted it, probably unknowing that it showed his email, which just so happened to be his first and last name. He was caught within a few days. During this whole case, I got to actually meet Mitch, and he was indeed a happy old man, even despite what happened to him.